This is Jaguars This Week. Jaguars This Week. With the voice of the Jaguars, Brian Sexton. Color analyst Jeff Luggeman. Jaguars.com senior writer John Osher. And Tony Boselli.
Now that's a cool cat.
Jaguars This Week is brought to you by Ticket Exchange and by Everbank. Jaguars This Week begins right now.
All right, here we go. An hour, second to last show in a 15-year run of Jaguars This Week this evening. And we have two special guests joining us for the next hour. Sitting to my left is Cam Bradfield, right tackle hero of the Jaguars. And across the table, Will Rackley. Guys, how are you?
Doing good, man. How are you?
I'm good. Most people would have thought you guys would have been out of town, sitting on a beach somewhere, you know, cruising through Las Vegas, enjoying life. Here you are. I mean, you're stuck in the radio studio with me for the hour, but you've been here at the stadium for how long today?
Today?
Yeah.
Like 3 or 4 hours,
yeah,
probably.
You're here for about 3 or 4 hours every day.
Really? Mm-hmm. Now, you're not dealing with coaches. They're not here.
Right.
So what are you doing?
We're training, man. Trying to get used to that heat before camp starts. Just trying to get in shape, you know, get ready for the season.
Is that really a battle for you guys? You've been here a couple of years. I mean, does the heat still require? And you're from Atlanta.
Man, you never get used to this heat. I mean, it's the combination between like the sun and the humidity at the same time. It just drains you.
I mean, Cam, you got an excuse. You're from Michigan.
I mean, same thing Will say. You know, I've been out in Michigan training pretty hard and got back down here, and it's nothing like it. You can't. There's no way you can try to match it. It's unbelievable.
I mean, really the lesson is that in the ultra-competitive NFL, I mean, you were starter last year. You were starter before you got hurt as a rookie 2 years ago. You can't take a day off.
You can't.
I mean, maybe here or there, but you can't really go on vacation for any extended period of time, can you?
Absolutely not. I don't think so. I mean, after minicamp, I took 4 days off, and I felt it the day I came back and worked out. So that was the first time I ever did that. I usually try to, you know, do something at least 6 days a week.
When you say you feel it.
I was extra tired that day, you know.
Really?
I'm like breathing hard on my hands and knees, but you know, got back into it though.
Definitely. I mean, you know, they say you lose it a lot quicker than you gain it. So if you take 2, 3, 4, or 5 days off, you know, you come back to workouts, you're definitely going to feel a lot worse than you did before. So.
Here's the magic question. How much sleep do you guys need?
Need?
How much sleep do you need?
During the season?
Anytime. I mean, you guys were talking earlier that your caloric intake is something like 5,000 to 6,000 calories a day.
Yeah.
Right? You're working out 3-4 hours a day. You're dealing with the heat.
Yeah.
How much sleep do you need? I mean, what? Not the minimum. What's good for you guys in terms of being able to function?
I think it's different for everybody. Me, I'd say about 6 to 7 hours, I'm fine.
Really?
Eight hours, I don't like to sleep in that late. Usually, I kind of feel a little sluggish if I feel like I've slept too long. So,
right.
I say about 7 hours is good for me.
Same with you?
Same way. I feel like 6 or 7 is good. If I sleep too long, then I'll end up being sleepy the rest of the day for some reason.
I mean, everyone knows that eating right and working out is such an important part of what you do, but the sleep side of it's pretty big, too.
It's pretty important.
I mean, you've got to recharge and regenerate.
Exactly.
And get up the next day and get ready to go at 9:55 in the morning, which is when Gus is throwing practice together.
Yeah.
I mean, that's right in the middle of the heat, baby.
Definitely. I mean, that's
better than 3 p.m., though. I'll take it.
Yeah, I guess you're right. I think you have some walkthrough schedule for that, but that's a considerable amount.
Cool. Yeah,
easier to get things done. So, Will and Cameron here for the next hour. You can join us 355-NFL1, 800-355-6351. So, let's talk about your foot real quick. You know, early in camp last year, get the word, Will's down.
Yeah.
Thought you might come back for a day. Then we start to hear, it's probably going to take a little bit longer.
Yeah.
What was that like for you last year? And what was it like sitting out? And what's it been like now trying to get back into a football mentality?
Man, that was honestly one of the most difficult things I've had to deal with as a player. Knowing how much work I put in prior to getting injured and then having to watch my guys go out there during the games and you know, having the struggling season, you know, and I could have been out there to at least help. It was very tough, very tough.
And with rehab now, how long did it take you to get to a position where you felt comfortable that you were ready to go out and play? Because you took part in all the mini camps.
I did. I was up and running around January. I didn't feel completely 100%, no aches, no pains or anything, maybe beginning of February.
You ever missed that much time in football before?
Never. I've never had a serious injury.
Really?
Yeah, so that was my first one ever.
Now, when you get out there and start running on it, you confident?
absolutely.
What do you think
Yeah, I'm never thinking about it. Like going to OTAs, like the first day, I never had any problem with it. It feels really strong. I never have any problems with it, so it's never in the back of my mind at all.
Let's get the injuries out of the way. Opening day, Minnesota last year, in a span of what? Four or five series? Not even that. Four or five plays, it seems. Ebbins down. He started at left guard. You're down. Yeah. You started at right tackle. And Uche's playing, and he's dragging his leg around.
Yeah. That was a bizarre chain of events. I've never seen anything like that. You know, three offensive linemen go down in the season opener. Right. So that was
It took you a couple of weeks to get back to a position where you were feeling okay, didn't it?
Yeah, I was out. I missed the Houston and the first Indianapolis game. So I think I came back the Cincinnati game. Okay. So I was out for a couple of weeks.
Right. And in terms of playing injured, because that's not something you played injured all year last year, didn't you?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, it was something that I knew it was. I was pretty much going to have to battle it the whole year. So it wasn't ideal, but I made it throughout the season with any significant injuries after that. So
as part of July 10th in the stadium, when some guys are probably out relaxing, is it because you've had to deal with injuries and you're trying to ensure that you're in as good a shape as you can so you don't have to deal with them?
I wouldn't necessarily say the injury part. It's just, it's getting ready for the season. That's why we're out there. We want to be great.
Strength work, speed work,
yeah.
Cardiovascular stuff. What you doing?
Everything.
Everything at that.
Now, what would the fine be in the meeting room for having your phone? What is it? I'm just curious. I mean, there's no fine in here. There's pizza, so enjoy it. I'm just curious. What's Gus going to nail you for if you have that?
I'm not so much worried about Gus. It's worrying about our O-line coach, George.
Oh, yes.
I want to talk about Lord. George. I want to talk. He's old school, isn't he?
Definitely.
He is
all
much different deal.
Yeah.
You know, we were talking, and we're going to take a break here in just one sec, but we were talking, and this will be the subject of our next break. You guys are in your third year. This will be your third head coach, your third offensive coordinator, your second offensive line coach, obviously, because you had Andy for your rookie season in last year. But you talk about change. I mean, this is survive and adapt, isn't it?
You have to, man. You got to be able to roll with the punches, though. So,
well, let's leave it with that. Let's take the break. When we come back, more with Cameron Bradfield and Will Rackley, who joins us in studio here for Jaguars this week. And we're back after this, Joe.
All right, Brian, you got it. Hey, introducing the new Jaguars Jungle Section. It's sponsored by Snyder Heating and Air Conditioning. The Jungle is located in the east upper deck, and tickets start at just $35 per game. Jungle dwellers get some really cool benefits like an exclusive Jungle t-shirt, wild concession discounts. If you need more info, just call 904-633-2000 or visit jaguars.com/jungle. Jaguars This Week rolls on right here on Jaguars Radio. Welcome back to Jaguars This Week here on Jaguars Radio. Want to talk to Cameron, Will, and Brian? Easy to do. 355-NFL1 or 1-800-355-NFL1. That's the Metro PCS call-in line. This portion, Brian, of Jaguars This Week brought to you by Fanatics.com.
Two bright guys here that understand the NFL, even though they're young, and the adaptation process. Come on, bring your questions. 355-NFL1. What grade were you guys in 1998? Third?
No. 98.
Third, fourth, something like that, yeah. That's when we started this show. It goes off the air next week. We're unrolling some new programming around here, but I was just thinking on the way in, these guys probably were third grade.
I was like 9 years old.
Yeah, 9 years old when that thing came going. So it tells you how long we've been on the air here. Okay, I feel old. So 355-NFL1. Let's talk about new head coach. You touched on it before the break. I mean, you guys have not been able to sit pat for a moment. You had a little bit of an advantage. You had your offensive line coach, Andy Heck, from 2010 through 2011. Tell us a little bit about what it's like now to go into year three with another coach. I mean, you guys, nothing's the same, is it?
I mean, yeah, like as you said, we've had nothing but change since we entered, the NFL, but I kind of think that's a plus, You kind of get used to change. I mean, of course, you don't want a head coaching change every year, you play, but
because that means you're not winning.
Exactly. So I think, getting the chance to go through it two times before, I think that's actually benefiting us for adapting to, change this offseason.
And I guess, for you were out last year. Mm-hmm. So you're really just changing from 2010 to 2012, right?
Right.
Or 2013. Wait, 11, 12. My years are mixed up. 2011 to 2013.
Yeah.
Last year was sort of a do-over year for you.
Pretty much. But, kind of going off what Cam said, I look at it as an advantage. Obviously, you wouldn't want to be having the same coach and winning and whatnot, but in this league, change happens a lot, and being able to get used to it, but being able to adapt to it and just roll with the punches, I think that's important, and we definitely learned that. And I'm really happy with Gus right now.
Andy Heck is now the offensive line coach in Kansas City. Fine man, really good NFL player, and a guy that I like and respect a whole lot. That being said, I always wondered how an offensive line coach could be so cerebral. You know, I mean, did you ever play for an offensive line coach that didn't yell with spit coming out of his mouth when they yelled?
Me, no.
Never.
No.
I mean, I would see him working with you guys, with all the big guys, all the years that he was here, and think, yell, Andy. Come on, yell. The big guys need it. And Buscelli will tell you if he was here, you know, Mike Mazur was the offensive line coach when Buscelli was playing. And if Mike wasn't yelling, you wondered if something was wrong. Yelling in the hallway, yelling when he would come in here. Mm-hmm. He just yelled. So, thoughts on going to George Yarnos, who I understand is old school offensive line coach. You feel more like at home, maybe.
I feel like at home. He's like the same exact kind of coach I had in college. So it feels way more normal to me right now. But
let it go.
Yeah.
How about you?
Exactly. He's, you know, just like the coach you just described. I mean, he's constant yelling, you know, standing on you about stuff. But I mean, he's you see the good in it too. You know what I mean? You know, he's doing it for a purpose. He's not just yelling, trying to, you know, put you on the ground. He's actually doing it for a purpose, trying to get you and everybody else better out there.
It's not a nice game.
No, it's definitely.
Why should the coach be nice? Did you notice that, Joe? I said, it's not an ice cream. Yeah, no, it's not. I wish we had a camera on here right now. We got some phone calls. Let's grab some. 355-NFL, 1-800-355-6351. Cam Bradfield, Will Rackley in studio for Jaguars this week. And let's start with Jeff, who joins us from his mobile phone. Jeff, welcome to the show.
Hi, how are you guys doing?
Doing good, man.
That's good. Basically, my question is, you know, we hear about all of the incentive-laden contract packages and, you know, all the bonuses that you guys get. What kind of penalties are there? Is it internal coach or is it in the contract clause when there are just plain old boneheaded plays that you can truly see deflates a drive and are game changers and, you know, people who are up in the stands are just screaming and whatnot, you know, that you know, I can't believe, you know, that guy just did that. I mean, are there any penalties that that players are subjected to when they do mess up during a game, and it's obviously that they did mess up, and it wasn't just an inadvertent play?
Isn't not necessarily a contract penalty. Obviously, a coach would get on you.
So you say, wipe the spit out of your eyes.
Yeah, you have to do all that. You might lose your job.
Yeah, right.
But not necessarily a contract thing where you might be out of money.
Yeah, they can't penalize you
for
a blown play.
No.
And you're not. I mean, you're graded every week,
definitely,
right?
Definitely.
And that grading is really important to you.
Yeah,
very important.
Because when it comes time to contract, which both of you guys are working towards, that grade comes up, doesn't it?
Exactly. I mean, you know that you're graded on that system, so nobody purposely goes out there and, you know, says, oh, okay, I'm going to bomb this play. You know, that doesn't happen. But mental errors happen. You don't want any of them to happen, but, you know what I mean, 11 guys out there, somebody every now and then is going to get a mental error. So you just work to eliminate those things, you know, as they pop up.
You know, and by the way, that's a mental error in broadcast business. So you understand how that goes. And I'll tell you this. I'm sure, and most of our listeners have been on a team at one point or another, when you make a mistake, you feel bad. You feel like you let your teammates down. So that's incentive enough to push you forward, right?
Absolutely.
Plus, you're playing for your job.
Yeah, I mean, as teammates, we all hold each other accountable. So we know nobody wants to make a mistake. So once somebody does in a game, you just, you know, got to keep going forward.
Plus, if you miss enough blocks, you're not going to get that gift from the running back. And Maurice has thrown some big money on the table in recent years.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, we'll just keep it real. It's about the money. 355 NFL 1. Well, it's professional football, right? Drake is in Mandarin. He's up next on Jaguars This Week. Will Rackley and Cam Bradfield in studio. You're up, Drake. What's happening?
Hey, guys, my question is about chemistry. At one time or another, from high school into where you are now, you've been on at least a championship team or a team with great chemistry. What are you guys bringing to the table to make the chemistry to where the crowd can feel it? Thanks for your answer. Bye.
I think it's just knowing your role on a team. You know, you have 53 guys on the roster, and everybody has to play a role. So I think everybody going out there and filling that role on Sunday, every Sunday, will help, you know, the chemistry of the team move on and as the team moves forward.
How about from an offensive? Did you have a thought on that?
Yeah, I mean, I was just going to say, you know, it's important to have the chemistry on the field and at the practice and while we're here at the stadium, but I think it's important how we relate to each other outside of the stadium and off the field, you know, just hanging out with guys and, you know, having that camaraderie because that translates to the field.
Well, and you guys, in particular, you're down there in the trenches where you've got to communicate. It's loud. You got defensive linemen who are probably mouthing off. You got a quarterback. You got Brad that's trying to direct traffic. You really do have to, in many ways, just understand who's next to you and the way Cam plays, right?
Right. You have to know what everybody's doing on the line to make sure you know what you're doing, kind of. And just know the situations, and just, you know.
So really, I mean, to be honest, you're the most cerebral athletes on the field.
I would say so.
There's that many things you've got to do, though, yeah, right?
Definitely for the center position. There's so much they have to do.
Yeah. And we could talk all day about Brad Meester, couldn't we?
Oh, good. Great guy.
What a professional he is and what it's like to have him back this year. But instead, we've got Brad who joins us from Yulee. Brad, welcome to Jaguars This Week. You're on with Cam and Will.
How you guys doing?
Pretty good. How's it going, man?
Good. I just wanted to say that, like, since Coughlin, I hear the game talk before we go into every game that we want to try to play the team we're playing close and keep the game close and try to win at the end. I want to know if this guy is going out there from the first snap saying that we're going to try to dominate, win the game, score as many points as we can, and, you know, beat up on the team that we're playing versus just trying to stay close and win it at the end. It's very frustrating to feel that, sense that out of that every time you guys start.
I mean, that's definitely not a focal point, I would say, would be to stay in close games. You want to go out every drive, every play, and win. You want to kind of minimize the game into series and plays. So you want to go out and say, I want to win a play, I want to win a series, and win the drive. So I would definitely say, you know, your goal is to go down on offense and get points every series you're out there. So, of course, if you do that every time, you're going to get points, and it's going it's going to separate the margin. So going out and you know, trying to get close games out is not a focal point at all.
It's not the focal point, but let's be honest. I mean, the NFL is a very close league, yeah, and most games come down. If you just watch, just look at the numbers from last year. Most games come down to eight points or less, right? And most games are decided in the fourth quarter, unless you have a team like the 2-14 Jaguars were at times last year, where things got out of hand, right? Yeah. Although there were three overtime games with the 2-14, right? So, you know what? That's probably the best way to describe it. You had a team that was struggling all season long with injuries, and you still had three games that you lost in overtime. It's a close league.
It is. I mean, it's a NFL is a tough league, man. You're playing against athletes that are the best.
You're not
going to
dominate like it's the Southeastern Conference.
No.
You don't have
really
Vanderbilt in your league, yeah, do you? Right? You know, I mean, you're not going to play Elon College.
Exactly.
No offense, Brad, but the NFL is a completely different level. You've got 53 athletes on 32 teams, and they're the elite of the elite. By the way, I'm sitting here looking at 6'5", 300, 6'4", you know, 300, two big stud athletes. You don't go out in the field and think, I'm just going to try to go to a draw here. Yeah, you want to go out and dominate your opponent, but
exactly,
it isn't that easy to do.
Not really.
Although
is.
I do remember your rookie year against Baltimore, you're lined up against Haloti Ngata. Didn't have a tackle. I remember leaving that game thinking, you know, 12-7, it was a close game, it was an exciting game, but man, look what Rackley did to that guy, who's one of the highest-paid defensive linemen in the game.
Yeah, man, it was Monday night. I had to turn it on.
Yeah, right. But it's going up. But here's Haloti Ngata, right? One of the best guys in the game, going up against a rookie left guard, making what? And by the way, making a position change, making what, your sixth or seventh NFL start?
Yeah.
And you know, you played him to a draw at the very. Yeah, you know, you dominated him. He didn't do anything. Didn't even have a tackle.
Yeah, man, I don't know what it was.
Well, I guess what I'm saying is it's a close league.
It is.
It's a close league. The mentality is to dominate, to do your best.
Absolutely.
But the outcome is generally to play it close and give yourself a chance to win.
Definitely.
All right. Time for news, Joe. Take it away.
All right, Brian. Hey, are you getting your Jaguars rewards? Well, sign up at rewards.jaguars.com. You'll get cash back or credit for future season ticket purchases every time you shop online using the Jaguars Rewards website. That's rewards.jaguars.com. News is next and more Jaguars This Week right here on Jaguars Radio.
Well,
Welcome back to Jaguars This Week. Hey, ladies, for the first time, the Jaguars have created a club dedicated to the experience of the female fan. That's you gals 18 and over. It's the Jaguars Women's Club. Great benefits, events to go to. Need more info? Just go to jaguars.com/womensclub.
All right, we are back here with about 20 minutes left in our program. By the way, guys, if we haven't said it a couple of times, we really do appreciate you coming in and spending an hour with us.
Oh, no problem.
In July.
Thanks for having us, man.
This is not hard work, but it would have been a lot harder without you guys. Because you can tell Lagerman's not here, Maselli's not here, and the only thing to talk about, you know, is what's going on in Denver. Have you followed that at all?
A little bit. I heard just about it.
Well, here's the deal. You got two personnel types. I mean, you don't hear about that often, who both have had trouble with drinking and driving. So, you know, the questions being thrown all around there, talk radio, on the internet, you know, ESPN and NFL Live. You know, what's the punishment and what do you do with these guys? If you're going to hold the players to a high standard, don't you have to hold the front office to a high standard as well? And I think that's true. But that aside, talk about living in a fishbowl, especially in Jacksonville. I mean, you guys, you're big. They know your players. Everyone knows your players. You can't escape, and as Maurice found out, you know, with the incident down in St. Augustine, besides the fact there's cameras everywhere, everyone knows who you guys are. You really do have to think when you go out. You have to think when you're walking down the street. You can't escape, can you?
No, you definitely have to think about it. It becomes a part of your life. You just got to be smart about what you're doing at night, where you're going, who you're with. But that's just a part of it. I mean, that doesn't feel any different to me. It's not like a new thing.
Right. It's the way you're raised to some degree.
Yeah, I mean, that's part of it. You know, how you're brought up, you know, have some sort of discipline for yourself in decision making. I mean, you have to ask yourself every decision you make, is this going to benefit me or is this going to hurt me? So at the end of the day, if you ask that question before every decision you make, you can't stray too far.
Could you write that on the whiteboard? I mean, there's probably some guys, you know, that just need that sort of common sense. Because if you're going to stay in this league, especially with the commissioner's policy on conduct now, and teams don't want to deal with suspended players. Yeah. I mean, they just find guys that can come in and play, good team guys that aren't going to be a problem off the field.
Right.
It's a short-term league if you can't think, isn't it?
Definitely.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, we'll follow that story and see what comes of it. 355-NFL, 1-800-355-6351. Let's grab Ennio next across the river in Arlington. Ennio, welcome to the program. You're on with Will and Cam.
Hey, good afternoon, fellas. Hey, win, lose, or draw, go Jags. Hey, I just wanted a quick question. I've been looking at a lot of the so-called expert predictions for 2013, and they're only giving us anywhere from 2 to 4 games, depending on what side you go to. I want to hear your expertise, your opinion as broadcasters and players, and I'll take it off the air. Go Jags.
I mean, all that stuff is speculation. You know what I mean? After the season we had last year, of course we're not going to be projected to you know, have a great year this year. But, you know, football is played on Sunday, so, you know, you got to have two teams that are full of NFL-capable players, you know. So you just have to go out and play better on Sunday. So to put a cap on a season like that, I think is, like, the Green Bay Packers was that 3 years ago? Went to the Super Bowl.
Right.
And ended up winning they were a wild card that year.
The Giants won 2 Super Bowls with Tom Coughlin in both years. They were calling for Coughlin's head in December. You know, no one saw them going there.
Exactly.
I think the point is that you can't let an odds maker, you can't let someone who writes a story on the internet determine what you're going to do.
Absolutely.
And you probably don't pay any attention to it at all.
Zero.
But you understand that those people exist to drive interest in the league, which drives eyeballs and viewers and ticket buyers and helps make it a profitable venture for you.
Oh, absolutely.
It's all part of the game, isn't it?
Yeah, it's all part of it. I totally understand, you know, the whole deal with the media. But, I mean, as players, we definitely don't really focus on what people are saying about us. It's more about, you know, how we feel inside the family atmosphere. So, I mean, we really don't take heed into, like, the speculation on how many games they think we'll win.
Right.
So.
Well, and it's a much lesser degree in Jacksonville, Florida, than it is in Philadelphia or New York.
Yeah,
and, by the way, you played
definitely
in Philadelphia, so you know that at Lehigh. But the reality of it is that part of the pressure of playing in the NFL, just like part of the pressure of playing in the PGA Tour is, you know, looking at 17 on Sunday afternoon here at TPC at the Players – and knowing the wind's coming in and I got a one-shot lead, you know, where am I putting the ball? Yeah. You got to play with that kind of pressure and the pressure that the fans and the media create. And they're saying, oh, yeah, did Will miss that again, right? Yeah. You can't think about that. You got to think about, well, I got to get it next time.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yeah, definitely. We know this is professional football, man. It's definitely pressure out there, but as professionals, we just learn how to deal with it.
And I would think that despite the fact that there is very little expectation for this team this year, you guys have seen a lot of change. I mean, you've seen it not just physically in the facilities here and with the coaching. There's a bunch of players here who are all competing for jobs. You know, there's got to be just a sense of, well, why not? Why can't we do whatever we want to do? And, you know, I mean, look, Tom Brady has a say in that for sure. But there's a sense amongst you guys that you can go out and be what you want to be.
Exactly. I mean, you know, since day one, you know, Gus has been nothing less than great. I mean, we really love the direction we're going in with Gus and Coach Fish, you know. So we think, you know what I mean, why not now? You know, we don't have a mentality of, okay, we're going to go out this year and, you know, see what happens, get ready for next year. No, we're not doing that. We're getting ready for this year and go out and do the best we can this year.
Well, and rebuilding is something for fans in the front office to look at. You guys are playing every Sunday for your career.
Exactly.
Absolutely, man. For everybody in the building is playing for the job.
You bet.
We're going out here trying to win. Definitely not going out here like, hey, yeah, this is a rebuilding year, so if we get a couple wins, that's fine. No, we're trying to go out there, you know, compete.
Every play of every day.
Yeah.
355-NFL, 1-800-355-6351. Before we take the break, you know what? Forget it. When we come back, you guys will want to stay tuned because you'll want to hear what these guys have to say about Brad Meester, the old man on the line. They didn't say it, I did. Meester probably feels that way sometimes now with six girls. You'll want to hear what these guys have to say when we return to Jaguars this week.
Hey, parents, now's the time to sign your children up for the Jaguars Kids Club. It's got its advantages. Members get a Jags Kids Club kit that includes a welcome letter, membership card, certificate, T-shirt, invites to exclusive events, and a birthday card from Jackson DeVille. Need more info? Go to JaguarsKidsClub.com. Jaguars This Week rolls on right here on Jaguars Radio. Introducing the new Jaguars Jungle Section. It's sponsored by Snyder Heating and Air Conditioning. The Jungle is located in the East Upper Deck. Tickets start just $35 per game. Jungle dwellers get some really cool stuff, too. Like an exclusive Jungle T-shirt, wild concession discounts, all kinds of good stuff. Need more info? 904-633-2000 or visit jaguars.com/jungle.
All right, 8.5, 9 minutes left in the program. You can call us. Metro PCS call-in line, 800-355-NFL1. Brad Meester, coming back for another year. We were talking about it during the break. I mean, I remember when he showed up as a very quiet second-round pick and plugged in at left guard next to Bocelli. That's how long he's been here. Bocelli was still playing. And, you know, he's consistently gotten better year in and year out. You know, the first 3-4 years of his career, he didn't miss a snap. And then he dealt with some different injuries, a bicep, a foot, that kind of a thing. Mm-hmm. What have you guys learned from Brad Meester in the time that you've spent around him? How important is he to your success?
I would say very important, man. When I came in here, he was what, like a 12-year veteran, and he was I noticed,
way back then he was 12.
Yeah, yeah. I noticed he was going through his playbook, studying, like paying attention to meetings, like it's his first day there, and I took it as that's what it takes to be here that long, and just like you said, man, he's very consistent. I don't know how he does it, man. He's to be so. Old per se. I mean, to go out there and play how well he does day in day out, man. I don't know how he does it.
Definitely. I mean, you know, as Will said, you kind of picture him as being the ideal NFL veteran. I mean, before every practice, every game, you see him over there in this corner flipping through his playbook. You know, never leaving one page unturned. Yeah. And you see him out there playing practice constantly in the games. He's still performing at a high level, and it does nothing but, you know, end up rubbing off on you to say, you know, this is what I have to do if I want to play 14 years is be as good as a pro as Brad Meester. This is what it takes.
You know, and you're talking about a position, the only other guy that touches the ball on every offensive play. I mean, people don't think about it like that. It's a critical position. So from a center perspective, he does what? He calls out. Yeah.
I don't think people understand exactly how much centers have to go through. You got to read the defense, read the coverage, make sure you remember the snap count, tell us what we're doing. Sometimes you got to talk with the quarterback, all while sometimes it's the hurry-up snap. So the quarterback out of nowhere might say hut and snap the ball. And man, it's pretty nuts. It's a hostile position.
Definitely. Center, you know, probably has to make 3 to 5 decisions within maybe a 5-second window. So, you know, as far as preparation, you have to be probably the most prepared person on the football field at every time, just to be able to get to the point to where you're making the right calls, and then you're snapping the ball and you actually have to play. So
while having a 350-pound man on you, right over you too.
Yeah.
So
exactly.
It's crazy.
Yeah,
right?
Not easy at all.
Not easy.
Let's talk about the quarterback for a second. Have you guys seen the number? The number was 2.6 seconds. Do you know what I'm talking about? The Sabermetrics group, you know, the Football Technologies group. What is Tony Khan call? I mean, information technology?
Yeah.
I want to get the name right. But, you know, the Jaguars are using Sabermetrics and statistics more than most other NFL teams. I mean, they are cutting edge with how they analyze how you guys play, you know, players they should draft, contracts, the whole nine yards. Sabermetrics, for those baseball fans, is what that generally is known at. But information. Mm-hmm. So they determined that when Blaine Gabbert had at least 2.6 seconds to throw, he was among the top 10 most accurate quarterbacks in the game. But when he had less than that, he was 31st. So, it figures it. So 2.6 seconds. So, you know, give me your perspective on this young quarterback who's taken an immense amount of heat, the amount of people that have just given up on this kid after 2 years with two head coaches and two offensive coordinators, right?
Mm-hmm.
Your thoughts on where he's at heading into this season and what you expect from him?
Me personally, all I've seen from Blaine is him getting better and better, especially this offseason. I've seen him make some incredible throws, make some incredible decisions. I think it was a little unfair how some fans perceived him in the first couple years due to, you know, just situational things. I don't want to make any excuses, but
sure.
Here in-house, we know what's going on, and we definitely see, you know, his progress all the time.
Definitely. I mean, you know, from a teammate standpoint, I mean, you see nothing from him in and out every day, nothing but hard work, you know what I mean? So, you know, the fans have their own point of view and we have ours. And from my point of view, I see nothing but a hard working guy, a great leader. He's becoming more vocal, you know, commanding offense.
That's part of it, isn't it?
Definitely.
Quarterback has to own the huddle, doesn't it?
Definitely. Yeah.
When you look at him in particular, he's got some weapons now. You're going to play without Justin for a couple of games, and that's unfortunate. But Cecil Shorts, I mean, you guys watch the tape. Thoughts on Cecil Shorts?
Unreal.
Really?
A man's been beasting.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Some of the catches there.
Can I quote you on that?
Quote it. I'll tweet him later.
All right.
But, yes. Some of the catches we've seen him make during this offseason are unreal, man. But, we're talking about a guy who works his butt off all the time, too. And I'm personally happy to see that it's been paying off for him.
He's definitely got big-time potential, doesn't he?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
I think he has potential to be one of the best ones.
You know, and Lehigh's not a football factory. Grand Valley State's had some guys get out there, and he's a small school guy.
Yeah.
I mean, it proves that you find football players where you find football players.
Absolutely, man. I mean, a lot of those guys come out of small schools. I think it's their drive and, you know, their work ethic, and they got to have the heart to do it, being looked over all their lives.
Did you know that when you came out of Lehigh? Did you know that when you came in from Grand Valley State? Of course, you also had the added chip that you were undrafted.
Exactly. You know, I came in from day one that's something I don't think will ever leave me. You know what I mean? The fact that I didn't get drafted, but you know what I mean? You get in where you can. The thing is now is staying in. So I kind of feel like, you know, coming from a Division II school, you have that chip on your shoulder, but being undrafted, that does nothing but add fuel to the fire.
All right. You've been challenged. They've drafted a young offensive tackle.
Mm-hmm.
What does that mean for Cam Bradfield?
Yeah. I'm going in every day working hard as usual. I mean, I'm finding my role on the team, and wherever they need me, I'll play. I love the organization, love playing for Gus, love playing for George. So I'm just coming in if he needs help, because I've played two seasons in the league, so I can, you know, maybe help him out with some things along the way to help his progression come along faster. So I'm just in to do, you know, whatever they need me to.
Well, the mentality, and it has to be this way for football players, is if it's not here, it's going to be somewhere, right?
Right.
Because when your contract runs out here, if you re-sign, okay, if you get an opportunity to go play somewhere else, you've got to be thinking as a starter all the time, don't you?
Exactly. I mean, that's always, you're always working to be a starter, and you're always working to stay a starter. So that's always, you know, that's always a goal. If it's not, then that's when you find yourself being passed up by somebody behind you. So you can't think anything less than that.
What do you think of the rookie so far?
I like him, man.
Yeah?
I like him. I think he has great potential.
good player.
Yeah, good player.
Makes you guys better.
Definitely.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely makes us better. I noticed just off the first day, the way he moves, the way he bends, his timing, his punch and everything, I think it'd be pretty good.
We got to talk about the other two guys in the line since we talked about everyone else. a thought on Uche, who has been slow to come back. He had some knee issues. Looks like he's going to be ready when camp goes. He's a guy who's been durable. I mean, a guy who's got more than 80 starts, and you just plug him in and he goes.
Yeah, definitely, man. Guy has been here, a seasoned veteran. I think we'll see, you know, what we've always seen out of Uche, you know, just a good, solid player.
And then the guy with the grunt going on there behind you, Eugene, who, you know what, he came in as the you know, top 10 pick, and I think everyone expects him to put on a show every Sunday afternoon, and he had a really good season last year on a team that struggled, and I don't think people realize what kind of player he is.
I don't think people realize how many top-tier defensive ends he shut down last year.
Well, Jared Allen on opening day, that's just a dominant performance.
Yeah, I think, you know, Gene just like last year, just take it from there and get better this year as well.
All right, just to finish it up with some lighthearted chatter here, uniforms. you know, I mean, you young guys, you got style going.
Definitely.
What do you think?
I'm loving them. Yeah, I like them, man. There's nobody else in the league like our uniforms.
No one likes
helmets
them.
Either.
Helmets either. I think
that's different, isn't it?
Yeah, I think we're top of the line as far as uniforms and helmets.
Playing in London.
That's gonna be awesome as well.
Very excited.
I've never been to England, so you know what I mean, to go over and make that trip, I think it's gonna be great.
Yeah, it should be fun.
Want to win the game too, but
yes.
Over there to play the 49ers. That's
gonna
say.
Talk about a challenge.
Yeah,
I mean,
that's
you get
awesome.
The NFC champs. Team that has Super Bowl aspirations, a good way to measure yourself.
Definitely.
Yeah.
How about you go to the West Coast, you're staying in California for a week. Mm-hmm. You got back-to-back games on the West Coast. Organization makes a decision, going to stay out there. That seems to be a decision made to keep you guys fresh.
Yeah.
I think it'll be great. You know, it's a long flight back and forth, so to stay out there and lessen up the travel time, I think it'll be in our benefit.
Yeah, let's go out there and enjoy the Cali lifestyle for a little bit.
2 weeks, yeah. You better enjoy it now. 2 weeks from Friday, you guys start camp. I can't tell you how much we appreciate it. You guys are welcome in here any time.
It
was a pleasure to have you guys.
Thanks for having us.
Cam Bradfield, Will Rackley, watch them coming to a football field close to you 2 weeks from Friday. Thanks, everybody. Thanks, Joe. Appreciate it. Have a great night, everybody.